This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is the War in Ukraine Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles.
Russia invaded Ukraine nearly 3 months ago, and there's no end in sight to the fighting. Putin appears focused now on the Donbas region in Ukraine's east, which is home to a number of Russian-backed separatist groups. But as has been the case for much of the war, things aren't going well for Russia. Ukrainian authorities say they recently repelled a Russian attack in the region.
Still, things have been extremely difficult for Ukrainians. Journalists trying to work while covering a war fought on their home soil. One of them is Ilya Ponomarenko, a defense and security reporter at the Kyiv Independent, English-language media outlet in Ukraine. Ilya, it seems like Putin is close to declaring parts of the southeastern part of your country as part of Russia.
Well, it's a big question what they want to do about this territory, because the battle of Ukraine has truly shifted from the whole territory of Ukraine or the major cities like Kyiv or Kharkiv. It's been focused for quite a long time on the eastern part, which is called the Donbas, the region of Donbas where this war originally started. So yeah, it's a big question if Russia can achieve any of its key goals about this region, because over these weeks and days of battle, we have Russian goals getting narrowed and narrowed, and over the time they started with taking the whole of eastern Ukraine, and now they seem to be limiting their gains and limiting their goals about this down to taking some small portions of Donetsk and Luhansk regions still not occupied. So it's a very limited objective compared to what they have now. And it's a very big question if they want and if they have plans of, annexing this these regions as Russians, as a Russian territory, along with southern regions of Ukraine. Or they want this just to seize the whole of these regions and leave it be, something like that. Just because, in many ways, their plan got off the rails in many, many ways. So it's not on the plan right now. So it's a big question if they can complete all, even these very limited goals that they have right now in eastern Ukraine.
Do you think they can get those goals, or do you feel that momentum is on Ukraine's side right now?
Yeah. I would say that, it's not just my opinion, but the general opinion of the military and also defense community here in Ukraine is that, in general, the Ukrainian military is winning the Battle of Donbas, but it comes at immense price, at just an outstanding price in terms of, military casualties and in terms of, destruction in the region. In many ways, it happened just because Russia has failed to actually launch and sustain a very effective and very fast and rapid offensive in eastern Ukraine. You know, it's been more than 20 days since they focused solely on this region. So they have not achieved, I would say, even 40% of their minimal goals in this operation. So it bogs down. They're making some gains, but, you know, the time is running out and they have run out of any resources and also reserves in terms of manpower. So it's not going too well for them.
Ilya, what is it?
From the Ukrainian side, it's very hard, yeah.
Ilya, from the point of view of, as we mentioned at the outset, you're Ukrainian, you're covering a war in your own country. What is that like for you?
Well, it should be noted that we have this war for nearly 8 years now. What we have now is the new stage, the hardest stage. But, you know, we got used to this. Since 2014, we've been covering this war, you know, in our own country, as Ukraine, as a national of this country. So with the time, we managed to live with this and get used to this. So to me, as a journalist and as a national of this country, as a native of this war affected, the worst affected region of Donbass, it's been forever in my head. So it's just part of our life and part of our professional career. So as a journalist, you just learn to report, to be honest before your audience, to be serving your community, I mean, the people of Ukraine, for the better of these people. So it makes it just becomes your, you know, motivational factor that motivates you into working even harder in to be investing even more strength into this, just because you feel yourself serving, you know, serving a service to community, not just doing the job. You know, like I also reported from other parts of this planet, from war zones like Congo, Eastern Congo. Of course, I was involved, emotionally involved into you know, seeing the toils of local people. But of course, when it comes to your own country, to your own family, your own home, hometown, for instance, in Eastern Ukraine, it takes a lot of effort to stay a journalist. But I would say that the Ukrainian journalistic community are very proud to be, you know, to be journalists in the genuine sense of this word, even though it's about their own homes right now.
Ilya, stay with us. We're going to have much more with you on the other side of a quick break.
And we're back talking about the war in Ukraine. With us again is Ilya Panomarenko, a defense and security reporter at the Kyiv Independent. Where do you think, Ilya, that this is headed? Because all wars end, or at least most wars, end in some sort of negotiation. And usually the side that wins is the side that calls the shots in how that negotiation is going to go. How do you think this is going to end with your country and Russia? What sort of negotiation is going to work?
You know, I'm always trying to be a bit conservative and very careful about, you know, any predictions of any future, because, you know, as the whole history of this war shows, you know, it is so unpredictable and crazy that it is almost impossible to make any, you know, rational calculations or forecasts about this. But I believe that judging from what we have here on the ground and what we have in terms of, you know, international support of Ukraine and what we have on the as a result of actual hostilities, I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, the fate of this war and the fate of the Ukrainian nation would be decided on the battlefields, primarily on the battlefields. And the results on the battlefield will just spell the situation for the table of negotiations with Russia. So based on what we have seen here in Donbass in terms of, you know, hostilities and also Western support, I think what we will be having is the gradual exhaustion of Russian forces here in Ukraine, because they are pretty limited in terms of their manpower reserves and many other things. And we're going to have Ukrainian military slowly and very painfully and very steadily getting strengthened by the Western military support and weapons, particularly the heavy artillery, which is just defining the whole picture of on the battlefield. So slowly and steadily, Ukrainian military would drive the Russian military out of the occupied territories to a certain degree. I believe, as I try to stay careful and conservative, I believe what we're going to have is the is getting back to the status quo of early 2022 by the end of this year. So Russia would be simply exhausted and denied of any abilities to go on offensive and go on active war here in Ukraine in many, many ways, thanks to early Ukrainian successes and also thanks to the continuing military support from the West and particularly from the U.S., the heavy artillery, which is the game changer in this regard.
What's it like to see the commentary from other parts of the world, though, thousands of miles away, saying, you know, just give up some of these areas and then get to the table and sign some kind of truce if Russia's okay with that? Because it's easy to say that from thousands of miles away, but it's a different story, of course, when you live there, you fought for it, and you've been invaded.
Well, yes, I understand what we're talking about. We just recently had this New York Times editorials article saying that basically this war is too complicated. Putin is still strong and scary, so it makes no sense to, you know, to go for full victory of Ukraine because, you know, it's not realistic or something like that. So, in other words, Ukraine should, you know, stay realistic and accept, you know, demands of Putin. But the problem is, you know, that this war, it's a very rare thing in history. It appears to be so black and white, you know, so clear in terms of the good and the bad, that and the conditions and the goals of Russia in this war and the goals of Ukraine in this war are so opposite and so an alternative that, you know, I don't think that it's just a choice between giving up on your right to exist as a sovereign nation. There can be, you know, like a middle ground or something like that. So obviously, as we see such things, you know, in Ukraine, they are taken very emotionally because everybody understands that we can't stand against Russia by ourselves just alone. No matter how brave and strong our military is, it's very emotional. So it is always a huge scandal as we see such things in the West, basically saying, I just give up on something. So like part of your territory, Ilya, just for the sake of ending this violence.
Ilya, yeah. I'm wondering, do you have any updated information on all of those Ukrainian soldiers who ended up leaving the steel factory or steel territory in Mariupol and are now either in Russia, I suspect, or in Russian-controlled parts mm-hmm. of eastern Ukraine? Do you have any updated information on how they're being treated and that sort of thing?
Well, the latest news of this hour is that almost all of the soldiers and officers at the Azovstal plant, we call it this way, as the Azovstal plant, they have been surrendered to Russia. They have left the premises and they have been transported to various locations in Russia and also the Russian-controlled territory of eastern Ukraine. It's prisons, it's hospitals, jails, concentration camps. You know, the Russian propaganda outlets, they have published some of the video footage on which Ukrainian service people, they speak for themselves, saying that they have decent, you know, living conditions in custody. And there's a special thing about all these things is that many of those members of this garrison, the Azovstal garrison or Mariupol garrison, as we call them, they would never simply accept as, you know, a just plain surrender at the mercy of Russia. Based on what is happening here and based on what kind of troops we had in there and their, you know, readiness to fight and actually die and their absolute unwillingness to just give up without a fight, I make it that Ukraine and Russia, with lots of international mediators and backers, they have a sort of a deal that guarantees the life and safety of those people, and their very probable and possible prisoner exchange in the future. Without these strong and very compelling guarantees and for their life and safety in Russian custody, I don't think that they will simply come out without any weapons and decided to obey to these commands to just come out and give up. So there's must be some kind of a deal. So the chances are high that we're going to see them getting back home after some time, sooner or later, because otherwise they would not simply get up.
Yeah, they wouldn't just give up. All right, Ilya Ponomarenko, defense and security reporter at the Kyiv Independent. Ilya, thanks so much for speaking with us today. We hope you stay safe. We wish you the best.
Russia is claiming to have completely liberated that steel plant in the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol. That plant had been the site of intense fighting for weeks, and it was Ukraine's last stronghold in that city. Military analysts say this gives Vladimir Putin a badly needed victory in a war where Russia has not had all that much success. The Ukrainian advisor to Ukraine's President Zelensky compared the battle for the steel plant to the famous battle between 300 Spartans and a much larger Persian army that was in 480 BC.
This is an Odyssey original. Find us and others on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.